Now, one thing I really want to do, I want to pray before we start. Oh, Father, once again, how good it is that in this quiet moment that we can come and can have the privilege to open your book and the word that you've been given each and every one of us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the word that I speak is not from myself, but by the guidance of your Holy Spirit. So may you continue to help us as we pilgrim in this world. We know that we are not perfect. We know, Lord, that we need to remind ourselves day by day where we stand before you. So once again, Lord, as we look at this book, in the book of James, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work mightily among each and every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you know that every time when someone approaches Chris, it's your turn to speak, and I've got a bit of anxiety. I said, my goodness. Because preaching is not easy. I had to put a lot of hard work. And I'm a lazy man. I prefer to sit in my bum and watching telly and doing the things that are worth. But when someone asks you to pray, that means you have to put in all the hard yaka to do all the things. And everyone have a different gift. I have to confess, I don't have to speak of teaching. Because every time when I come here to preach, when I look around, whoa, all these people got a higher authority and higher than I am. I might speak the wrong thing. So it's just like, every time I come here, it's just like having an exam. And everyone looking at me, whoa, what is Chris talking? Is he talking the right thing? And last week, Brian was talking about taming the tongue. And these words is always scare me a lot. He talking about, he said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So before I start, I'm not a teacher. I just want to share what God has shown to me. I only can do that, okay? Because I know that some preacher, they can really expand from one verse, they can woo all the way. For me, I'm not really educated, only up to year 10. So when the words tell me, whoop, that's it. This is what the words say. I don't know how to expand. So it takes me a long time to bring the word to you, so I hope you don't mind. Now, beside that, today we are continue on James. And it's from the book of James, chapter 3, from 13 to chapter 4, 1 to 12. Now, I'm basically is continued from the book of James. You find that, you know, last week was Brian, we were talking about the tongue, how to tame your tongue. And the one before that is faith. And they talk about favoritism, and then train to win, and blah. And now come to me. I say, Chris, you're speaking the word of wisdom. And I say, my goodness, are you sure? Do I look wisdom enough for you?
Yeah.
With glasses, you know? So, and I continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will work mightily. Eh? Now, shall we open your Bible and read from James chapter 3? I'm reading from a New King James Version from chapter 13 onward and up to chapter 4 and to 12. See. And it started with, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his work are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to you, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, where do wars and fight come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure, the war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. Verse 4, it says, adulterer and adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture said in vain? You see, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore he said, God receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judge his brother, speak evil of the law and judge the law. But if he judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So the chapter has been given to me in the book of James on this subject I'm talking about, wisdom, is basically majority speaking to Christian, our brother and sister in Christ. Now, as we sit here, I was contemplating, say, have you ever thought about what makes a person wise? You look at the person, well, is he a wise person? So what makes a person wise? Is it the way we look? Or just as well, with glasses, long beard, white hair? Now we learn from James, right, there's a different, those people who get their wisdom from this world. Now, how did the people get the wisdom from this world? Comparing to one another, Greek philosopher, read a lot of books, Greek philosopher. A lot of people go to Indian guru, you're the guru in Indian guru, and Chinese have one as well, it's all Chinese Confucian. If you read enough, you get confused on that. Chinese Confucian, and so on. So the wisdom, and all the wisdom with the elderly person, you know, they have many years of life experience. They have gone through life. You can learn from him. But there's another way. You learn it from that wisdom from the world, what people are right about, or you believe in God and follow the wisdom from heaven. Now, how do you say that? Because in Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fool despise wisdom and instruction. So you have to look at this way. If you follow the wisdom of the world, what are they comparing on? One another. But if you got the wisdom from above, who is your goalpost? God is. If you don't have the fear of God in you, what would you do? You can do anything you want. Because you got nothing to compare to. Because you say I'm wrong. Well, who say I'm wrong? There's no goalpost. So the fear of the God is the beginning of wisdom because you have a goalpost. So whatever you do, you have to think of the consequences. So when you talk about wisdom, it's about your lifestyle. Wisdom is not what we do or say. It is how we live. We can say a lot of things, you should do this, you should do that. But if your life does not reflect on what you say, you are just like a sounding cymbal, making noise. Hey, right? So the life that you live is here, what is that life look like? So you either follow the wisdom of life of this world, or you live a life by changing your lifestyle, and you're transforming your mind to the things above, what God is giving you, and which is the wisdom of God. And how do we get the wisdom from God? How do we get it? Yes, I want to be wise. So how do you get wisdom from God? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give it to you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But there's a condition here. Let him ask in faith. And what's the number two? With no doubting. So if you want to get your wisdom from God, you need to ask in faith without doubting. As simple as that. So James encourages us, he says, if you have faith with our Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you the wisdom and the knowledge how to deal with life. Because Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Those of you who eat things perishable, you go hungry again. But I am the bread of life. I will give you the wisdom. And Jesus came to this world to save mankind. Mankind, who's mankind? That's you and I. Because you are now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are now living the pathway of righteousness. Using James as an example, your character of Christ. The life that you live, whether it reflects the character of Christ, or character of Christ, or you live according to the pattern of this world. And James also warns us about doubting your faith. You know, as a Christian, have you ever doubt? I do. Even the Bible talks about the doubting Thomas. Yes, of course you do. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-edged, double-mind, unstable in all his way. Although you are in the world, although we call ourselves Christian, although we are living in the world, we are not of this world. We are set apart by God, out of this world. You have to live a life, a faith that is mature and complete. Complete in our Lord Jesus Christ. A faith of life of trust and obey for our Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other way. No other way. To be in Jesus is to trust and obey. So the wisdom from above does not let your royalty, do not let your royalty of our Lord Jesus Christ divided between the God and the world. One foot in the world, one foot of God. And they are unstable. I wrote here, how can God direct your life if you don't fully trust with your faith? You will ask for help, but you are, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. Well, will God help you on that? No, you have to be fully trust with no doubting. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 24, it says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction because they don't believe what the cross is. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Since God in his wisdom and assigned to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. That's what the Bible tells us. The world will never know God through human wisdom. He has used our foolish teaching, preaching to save those who believe. But to those called by God to salvation, Christ is the power of God, our power source. You got a phone, run low on battery. What do? You have to go for your power source. And what is our Christian walk? Well, who's our power source? Our Lord Jesus. And he gives you the wisdom. God is wiser than the wiser of human plan, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Now, James 3:13, he says, if we are wise and understand God's way, if you're wise and understand God's way, what you need to do? He says, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good work with humility to come from the wisdom. And people say to me, hey, you are Christian, you are a good person. I say, define what's good? Good means I'm doing all the good things. Yes, but being a Christian means we're doing good things through the love of Christ in us. It's coming from inside. We do it because God loves us. We want to show the way that because God loves us, we do it automatically. We don't do it out of any ambition or anything that we can get out of it. Because God told us to do that. Now, living an honorable life, that you live a life of Christ. Because by the way you live, the way you talk, and the way you act, it will reflect who you are. People look at you. Now, you either encourage others to come to Christ, or you'll be a stumbling block. You know, sometimes I feel very ashamed. A so-called Christian leader, knowing the Bible inside out, but their word, their action, really put Christians to shame. So are they being an example to others, or are they a stumbling block? Or let them be your judge. Be careful, because you are a representative. If we call ourselves children of God, we're basically an ambassador for Christ. So you're living the life of Christ, the wisdom from above, you lead to your good conduct. James is telling us that wisdom is just not knowing your Bible. Just like a Pharisee, they know your Bible inside out, they know more than me. You know what? Another thing, the devil knows more than you and me. Right? So knowing your Bible, but also because it also involves action. Your behavior, it is a direct command to pursue a life of holiness. That's what God tells us to do, to live a life of holiness. No excuse for those who do not measure up. Earthly wisdom is selfish and envious. Well, what of this called bitter envy and selfish ambition? Bitter envy means that we really want something that someone else has. You envy and you bitterly disappoint if you can't get it. I wonder, if I can't get it, I disappoint. Selfish ambitions means that we are motivated to do something. We have ambition for something that serves us, me, and our own interests. The world taught us to put ourselves first. Look after yourself, man. Look after yourself. Put yourself first. Look after yourself. Don't worry or care about others. It's the attitude. Now, what can I get out from you? From myself, for my self-interest? I'll send you a scam. What's your bank account number? It's all about self-interest. I don't care what happened to you for my action, as long as I get what I want. Because they don't have God in their life. Don't have the fear of God in their life. And that's why we have so many problems in this world. The world of sin, due to bitter envy and selfish ambition. So this line of thinking is earthly. It come from where? Come from our natural human sin, because it's who we are. It does not come from above. It does not come from God. And that's why it caused disorder and evil practice. If you're not following the way of God, you create disorder and brokenness in our life. Because we are departed from His way to pursue our own way. It's not God's way to be pursued now, it's pursue our own way. To create a mess. And that's what the sin will do. That's what sin does. Look at the world around us now. Due to sin. Wisdom from above, it leads you to good conduct. That is because it's from God. Seek the fruit of true wisdom and reject the bad fruit of the earthly wisdom. You know, on the surface, wisdom of both God and the earth, they all look good. Do you know that? It's just like when you go and buy an apple. Both of them look very nice. Well, the world and God. But on the world wisdom, you buy on it, what happened to this matter? Rotten to the core. The apple is not perfect. But the apple from God is perfect. You know, as we call ourselves Christian, we know where we're heading. If you do our short journey of this world, it challenges us daily. Is our life reflect the life of Jesus? Are we producing the good fruit that's in us? Does it reflect the wisdom from above? You know, by walking closely with God, so you shall not, this is the clutch of the word, by following, walking closely with God, so you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. We live in a problem world. Look at us, the war that's going on at the moment. Israel, Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, all around. It's all about selfish ambition. Just using, well, we live in a problem world. The fruit of the Spirit, I think everyone knows about it, is in Galatians chapter 5:22. It says, the wisdom of the booth above is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And for those who don't have the fear of God in them, you practice exactly the opposite, which is from this world, and you will not inherit the kingdom of God. A truly wise person does not seek glory or gain. They are gracious and giving. There is a heavenly wisdom that comes from God. There is a man-made wisdom that does not come from God. You know, in the James message, there is a constant battle between choosing God or choosing the way of this world. It happened to all of us. I confess, it happened to me too. By instinct, because due to our human nature, we crave to do things our way and by our own means. At the point, we have to choose whether we want to follow the pattern of this world or you want to live for Christ and retransform and renewing the new man that's in you, the new mind. The whole of our sin comes from the desire to pursue what our flesh wants. That's what sin is. Rather than what God wants from us, we do what we want. The choosing comes down to whether we want to live out our faith and display the life of Christ by what we do instead of indulging our flesh, our comfort, me. So what cause? You see in chapter 4 there, verse 1, it says, what cause quarrel and fight among us? Why are you fighting? Because we are selfish. Simple as that. We are selfish. You fight because you are selfish. We let our passion take over and blind us. I want to win. Brother and sister, you know, James is talking about us. That's why I say, among our brother and sister, Christian, us, we're talking about us. Our own brother and sister in Christ, we all serve the same God and are part of God's mission. All of us are belonging in the body of Christ, finger, leg, eye, head, and each of us have a part to play for God's purpose and kingdom. Hatred and anger toward one another is a sin against God. You've seen it a lot in churches, even teachers. You've seen it, hatred and anger against our own brother and sister. It's a sin against God. This type of behavior, it means that you're lacking the wisdom from above because you rely upon on jealousy and selfish ambition. I cannot get what I want, so I get angry. This happens when our passion, our preference, and perspective, they all center in the selfishness. It's all about me, me, me. Me first. Then anyone that stand against us or in our way, we get angry because you don't agree with me. We push them aside. We begin to quarrel and fight. So when we lack godly wisdom, all we are able, if you don't have God, if you're lacking God wisdom, so all we are able to focus on is ourselves. John 13, verse 35 says, if you love one another, people will know that you are the disciple of Christ. God is love and peace. Let the wisdom of God in you be the example. You are the tools of God to either bring people to salvation or to slumber them. I've seen a lot. People come to this church. They can see the love of Christ within us. God gives each of us many gifts, so you will grow and mature in your pilgrim of this world. They are not there for your own advancement, for your own pleasure and comfort. Some God has given some people a gift for making tons of money. I'm not one of them. So you either use it for the glory of God or use it for yourself. Let God be the judge. The gift God gives are given to help glorify Him about His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We will not receive what we ask for if it doesn't for the best interest in you. God give this to you for the best interest of you. If you insist, I want it, but you don't get it, God say, okay, I'll give it to you, but it can be used as a judgment against you. Because it's not for the best interest for you. It happened to me before. Because we are His children. God wants the best for all of us. You know, James continue on and say, God demands our totally loyalty to Him because He sent His Son Jesus to pay the price of sin. It's a big ask. Jesus has abandoned everything, the King of Kings, the Creator of the world. He became poor so that you can be rich. You know what's a good stable marriage? The union between two persons. It's through the faith we share each other, the trust and the love for each other. You're committing adultery if you have someone else between the both of you. So is God. We are committing spiritual adultery when we are friends with the world. We are violating our relationship with God. We are telling God, your love is not good enough. I'm going to go to the world to get what I want. So you cannot unify with God and unify with the world. Something has to give. When we are more concerned with our own pressure and desire than the mission of God, it will create problem with your relationship, with God. God wants your full focus and devotion because He knows that is what makes you whole. He wants you to know that He cares for you and He wants what is the best for you. God wants us to live a life in this world to prepare ourselves for eternal. If you live a life for Christ, the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know, at the moment we are living in the period of grace. Your sin can be forgiven, can be forgiven through the love of Christ. As a Christian, we mess up. I mess up. Even Paul mess up. It's in the Bible. Because your spirit is willing, but sometimes we let our sinful desire creep upon us. Paul say, how wretched I am. I know I'm supposed to do the things of God, but I don't. I know that I'm not supposed to sin against God, but I do. But even when we mess up, there is grace, and it is by grace you are saved. Not by anything that you have done. Come to the Lord with confession. Confess to the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you will be saved. But grace demands humility. You humble before God, and God will give you the wisdom from above. Humility is the way that we are to live our life. True humility look at our relationship with God and with one another. Therefore, when we submit to God, we are able to receive the devil. To live, God has given the new man in us. And God tells us, you have to be transformed because there is a new man in you, the path of righteousness. Because heaven is our home, not this temporary world that we live in. All of us are different. We look different in shape, size, and height. And shape, yeah, I know you're looking at me. And different skin tone. But all of us are the same in the family of God. Regardless of who you are. So we are bound to have different opinion. Bound to. We need to be careful how we respond to a brother that we believe is in the wrong or who are opposed to God's word or the gospel. Do we keep a blind eye and say nothing about it? No, that's not what the Bible tells us. But how do we do it? If you are mature in your spiritual walk with Christ, you have to gently guide those who are still infant in their faith. Not with spiritual arrogance. I know more than you. I've been in this church for so many years. I know the Bible inside out. So is the Pharisee. That's called spiritual arrogance. Or with harsh word. But rather, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through the love and grace of God, helping each other for the exciting pilgrim journey in this world. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I need my brother to tell me, hey Chris, do you know what you're doing? Is it right? No. Sometimes we need to remind each other how we walk. Because there's the crown in front of us. All of us are heading toward the crown before us. Sometimes the devil will tempt us. Hey, it's not worth it. Come on, get out of the track. I'll give you something better. No, God say this is a crown. Or the devil will come around, kick you aside. You fall down. What are you going to do? So it's more important, it's very important for come to this church here as a brother and sister in Christ, to helping each other for the exciting journey that we can have to the love of Christ in us, to our faith. At the end of the day, each of us want to hear this word. Well done, good and faithful servant. I wonder what mine is. I'll be hiding, I can tell you that now. Now there are places where we do need to speak out and say something. For example, when a fellow believer is living in sin or boasting about it, or you're living according to the wisdom of this world instead of the godly wisdom. So how do you deal with them? Or when their focus is not on Jesus and they're focusing on self-interest, what can I get out of you? Above all else, then we need to gently guide them back to the path of righteousness. God tell each and every one of us to live in the path of righteousness. And James, in the book of James, says, let God be the judge, not you. I've seen in my own eye a lot of brothers and sometimes sisters like to criticize others because they think they are the judge. But James says, it's a journey between you and God. Let God be the judge, not you. Let the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Be aware of what you are going to fight over. Is it worth it? Is it worth the fighting for? You know, we need to demonstrate our love for God and for others. So even when we wish to try and correct someone, we need to do so in love and approach them with grace. That's hard. Approach them with grace and understanding with God's wisdom. At the end of the day, God wants us to live a holy life. You know, I'll put down here as we finish, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, that's why we need to submit ourselves to Jesus daily, not weekly. Just come to the church on Sunday and then you can do what you want for the rest of the week and come to here Sunday. You see, submit yourself daily. For only He can transform our heart and mind to the things above, not the temporary world that we live in. The people of this world, they get their wisdom comparing to one another. I get my wisdom, we compare to each other. My wisdom probably is better than you. And that's how the world get it. But God's wisdom is from above because they are everlasting, forever. So let's continue to worship the Almighty God who gave His life for us, He became poor so we can have everything. The salvation of God. I cannot comprehend the fathom, the agape love of Christ. You know, for these past few weeks, I have seen a lot of people that say goodbye to this world. That really sort of reflection as well. It reminds myself, hey, one day I'll be like that too. And when I'm lying down on the dead bed, I say, what am I thinking of? Am I going home, thinking of going home? Or there's something to hold me back. Let's continue to worship the great God that we have. Continue to live the life of Christ. For the wisdom of God had to come first. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we just want to give you thanks so much for the word that you've been given us. Lord, I pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit will continue to help each and every one of us who put our faith in our Lord Jesus. We know that we are not perfect.
So we need your guidance and your wisdom daily in our life. And help us, Lord, not to conform with this world, but to continue to re-transform our mind, our soul. For you are the potter, we are the clay. Let the clay to be soft can be mold, not to harden. So we give our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.